In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
Today's parable that we just heard actually comes as an answer Jesus gives to St. Peter for a question that Peter had just asked him. If you back up just two verses, Peter had come up to Jesus and asked, "If someone sins against me, Lord, how many times shall I forgive that person?" And Peter offers a number he considers generous, even seven times. But Jesus says, "No, Peter, but even 70 times seven." We're probably familiar with that line. Jesus says, "Forgive 70 times seven," which is obviously a symbolic amount of unending and unlimited forgiveness. But to ensure that his answer sticks in Peter's mind and sticks in Peter's heart, Jesus follows his answer with the story we heard. So the story we heard was what Jesus says to Peter right after he tells him 70 times 7. And he says, and listen to this story. This is going to explain it in a little more depth. A servant is brought to a king to settle accounts, and he owes the king 10,000 talents. Translated, that would be billions of dollars in today's dollar, billions with a B. So the servant begs the king for mercy, and the king not only lets him go, but he forgives him the debt. You don't have to pay any of it back, just go free. Now, obviously, this is symbolic of God's forgiveness of our great sins in his eternal mercy. Jesus starts the story reminding Peter just how forgiven he, Peter, is. He starts by saying, look, you are forgiven just like this servant. And then Jesus gets to the part of the story illustrating his answer to Peter's question about how many times he has to forgive his neighbor. So he starts by reminding him how forgiven he himself is, and then he gets to the part about the neighbor. The servant who is just freed, who is just forgiven from insurmountable debt for his sins, runs into a fellow servant, a peer, an equal in the eyes of the king. Now this fellow servant owes him 100 denarii, and quite interestingly, uses the exact same words the first fellow had used with the king. "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." The same exact words are offered, but the first servant, as we know from the story, shows no mercy and refuses to forgive. Now, this is what Jesus is emphasizing with Peter. How can you, a mere mortal in this common soup of humanity that you share with everybody who have been forgiven an unlimited amount by God, how could you not extend the same forgiveness to your fellow traveler, even unto 70 times 7? Did you ever notice in the Lord's Prayer, when we ask God for forgiveness, we ask conditionally? Did you ever notice we put a condition on God's forgiveness of ourselves? We don't pray, "Our Father, forgive us our trespasses no matter what." We don't say that. What do we say? We pray to the Father, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." It's not even, "Father, forgive me and I'll try to forgive others," at least most of them. We say, "Father, forgive us as we forgive." We put a condition on it. We're saying, "Father, only forgive me insofar as I do forgive every other person." That's what we're saying. That's how Jesus taught us to pray, because that's how it works. And that's why in this parable, when the king calls the first fellow to account the second time, it's not for his own sins per se, but for his failure to forgive. His failure to extend the forgiveness that he himself received to his fellow servant. So this parable's basic meaning is pretty straightforward to Peter and to us. In order to be forgiven, you must forgive even unto 70 times 7. That's the basic meaning. But there's a detail I'd like to look at, though, with a smidge more depth this morning. It's the amount the fellow servant owes the first one, this 100 denarii. That's the amount that Jesus chose to represent the sins committed against us, the sins committed against you, this 100 denarii. We already said that the amount representing your sin against God was billions of dollars, and just obviously the symbolic figure of an impossible debt. But the amount Jesus chooses for the sins against you is 100 denarii. Now, how much is that when translated into today's money? Well, it's about $12,000, actually, about $12,000, give or take. It's an interesting amount that Jesus chose to represent the sin and the pain committed against you, and it's an important part of the story. Why does Jesus use an amount like $12,000? It's not an accident. He could have used any amount he chose. He could have used 2 pennies. He could have said, compared to the sins you've committed against God, the ones against you don't matter. He could have said that, but he didn't. Jesus doesn't use an amount like 2 pennies. He uses 100 denarii, $12,000. Why? Because 2 pennies would diminish. 2 pennies would pass by the reality of the pain and betrayal that we experience when others sin against us. In other words, Jesus picked an amount that mattered. He picked an amount that mattered. Sure, it pales in comparison to our sin against God, but it's important to realize that it's not an insignificant amount. He chose an amount that matters. By using an amount like $12,000, Jesus is acknowledging the hurt. He's acknowledging the pain. He's acknowledging the scars. He's sympathizing with our brokenness. The point is not go forgive because it was nothing. That's not what he's saying. Jesus is not saying you have nothing to complain about. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I know it hurts. He's saying, I know there's scars. He's saying, I know it stings, but forgive anyway. Forgive the way I showed you. Forgive the way I expect of you. Forgive the way that God has already forgiven you. And frankly, if it didn't hurt, we wouldn't struggle with forgiving in the first place. I mean, honestly, if it didn't hurt, we wouldn't have to be preach this all the time. We do struggle with forgiving because it hurts. But if you don't let go, if you don't let go of the pain and the hurt, it will eat you alive. You know, in our parable, it says the unforgiving servant was delivered to the jailers. That's our translation in our gospel book. And that's a really gentle translation for the Greek word. The Greek word really means torturers. He says he was delivered to the torturers. Now, I don't want anyone to think that God is actively torturing somebody. What Jesus means in the story is the failure to forgive is torture. The failure to forgive is an imprisonment. It's self-torture. It's self-imprisonment. The failure to forgive is giving someone else's sin an eternal presence in your heart that eats away at you. That's what he's saying. If you don't forgive, you are making their sin eat away at you for the rest of your life and for all eternity. Now, why would you want to do that? You know, if it's a garden, in a garden imagery, why would you water the weeds? You know, pluck them out instead. Forgive and let go. Not because it doesn't matter, but precisely because it does matter. 100 denarii hurts. Let go anyway. That's what the lesson is. Yeah, like we mentioned, this was all in response to St. Peter's question of how many times to forgive a person who has sinned against you. Peter tried to be generous with an offer of 7. Jesus corrects that with 70 times 7. In other words, if your heart is a flower garden, you're going to pull weeds your entire life. And one last thing, an interesting thing. In the gospel, we don't hear Peter's response. We don't get Peter's response. Sometimes we get a reaction, the disciples' reaction to the Lord's teaching. This time we don't. And the reason we don't get Peter's response is for the listener's sake, for your sake. The decision and the response is left open-ended because it's not really about whether Peter chooses to forgive 70 times 7 or not. It's left open-ended because the real question is, what will you choose? Amen.